United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening, and welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. It is good to see you here. Special welcome to our visitors. Special welcome to those who are joining us online. And if you are here in the body, you are asked whether you are a lifelong member of St. John's or this is your first time walking through our doors. If you're here, please do sign the Friendship Register. That is the little black book that should be found at the end of each row of pews. Thank you for doing that. Today we continue to hear from God's word about meaningful ministry. It's God's will that he wants his people, his church, to serve others with the gospel. And as we do so, especially today, God's word tells us that God provides for our needs in abundance. Why? So that we can share that abundance with others. To guide our worship, we will follow setting 3 in the front of the blue hymnal that starts on page 189. But before we get there, we're going to sing our first hymn, which is hymn 602, also in the blue hymnal, Great is Thy Faithfulness. May God bless our worship.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, and proclaims the word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jordan Ertl will bring us the message from God's word, speaking on the scripture from 2 Corinthians 9, 8-11. God meets our needs to meet the needs of others. Our congregation will open the service and sing in hymn number 602, Great is Thy Faithfulness, hymn number 602.
Thank you.
Our worship is following setting 3, page 188 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
No. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus. God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. And so we have peace with God now and forever. Amen. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The first reading from God's Word chosen for today is recorded in Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 15. Here God provides and provides in abundance for his recently liberated people in the wilderness. On the 15th day of the second month after they had left the land of Egypt, the entire Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. The entire Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat around pots of meat and ate as much food as we wanted. But now you have brought us out into this wilderness to have the whole community die of hunger." And the Lord said to Moses, "Watch what I will do. I will rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people will go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, they will prepare what they bring in, and it will be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "At evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your constant grumbling against the Lord. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses said, "Now the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and as much bread as you want in the morning, because the Lord has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Tell the Israelite community, come before the Lord because he has heard your grumbling." As Aaron spoke to the entire Israelite community, they turned toward the wilderness, and suddenly the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses, "I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Say to them, at evening you will eat meat, in the morning you will eat bread until you are full. Then you will know that I am the Lord, your God." So in the evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, a layer of dew surrounded the camp. When the layer of dew was gone, there were thin flakes on the surface of the wilderness, thin as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" Because they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you as food to eat." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 145b. If you would like the music for that, please turn in the Gray Psalter book, not the Blue Hymnal, the Gray Psalter, to page 784.
Thank you.
Our second reading is recorded in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 8 through 11. This will be the basis for the sermon today. God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will overflow in every good work. As it is written, he scattered, he gave to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. And he who provides seed to the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing, and will increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you may be generous in every way, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 35. Jesus feeds the 5,000. It was already late in the day when his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it's already very late. Send them away so they can go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They asked him, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." He directed everyone to sit down in groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Jesus took the five loaves and the two fish, looked up to heaven, and blessed the loaves and broke them. Then he kept giving pieces to his disciples to set in front of them. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. Then they picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day, the first three stanzas, hymn 754, "Forgive Us, Lord, for Shallow Thankfulness."
Thank you.
Grace and mercy and therefore peace, they are yours in abundance from God our Father through our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation this evening is the second reading that we heard from God's word, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 11. Your friends, it was quite the large group of people, and they were in quite the predicament. On the plus side, they were no longer slaves, oppressed by the whims of their Egyptian masters. God had put an end to that quite powerfully. But now they were in the middle of the wilderness. And this middle of the wilderness wasn't exactly dotted by Quick Trips and other convenience stores. How are they going to get their daily food? And the people became so overtaken by worry and fear about this that they actually started looking back with fondness on their time in Egypt. At least we sat around pots of meat and ate till our bellies were full. I mean, the whips of the slave masters notwithstanding. So what does God do? Does he throw his hands up and say, this is the thanks I get? No, he provides for his people, and in such a way that not only are their physical needs met, but also their spiritual needs are met as well. Every morning he rains down this stuff from heaven, and the Israelites didn't know what to call it. They literally called it, what is it? It's kind of like my grandma used to say, what you call it? And they could take that and make it into bread. And it didn't taste dry or bland. It actually tasted like wafers with honey. And every night, God caused flocks of quail to just settle on the camp. Need some meat? Go grab a quail. Every day, twice a day, they saw a miracle. Every day, twice a day, they literally tasted that God is faithful. Yet God also provides in such a way that they only have enough for one day. They don't have enough for tomorrow. As a matter of fact, if they tried to keep the food until tomorrow, it would spoil. God didn't want his people just to have food. He wanted their trust. And his way of providing taught them that trust. Miraculous food from heaven, food that benefited not just the body, but food that also exercised the faith. God is able to provide not just enough, not just the bare minimum, but gift upon gift, grace upon grace. It was a large group of people, and they were out in the middle of nowhere, and they were in quite a predicament. They had been listening to Jesus all day teach on that hillside by the Sea of Galilee. The people hadn't eaten. The only food readily available, 5 loaves, probably about yay big, and 2 fish. Enough to feed about 2 grown men, maybe 3. After a bit of a freak-out moment from the disciples, fully realizing that they couldn't really do anything to help this situation, Jesus looks up to heaven. The Son gives thanks to the Father. And then he reaches into that basket and he starts distributing the food to the disciples and then the disciples to the people gathered there in groups of 50s and hundreds. And when all is said and done, everybody who was gathered there that day ate their fill. Nobody was asking for seconds. And it just so happens that 12 baskets full of leftover pieces were gathered. Maybe not so coincidentally, how many disciples were there? An unmistakable miracle. And not only had those thousands been fed with Jesus' spiritual life-giving words all day, they could now be sent home with nice full tummies. God is able not just to provide the minimum, not just enough to get by, but to the point of having leftovers. Gift upon gift, grace upon grace. In his second letter to the Corinthian believers, chapter 9, Paul was urging them to generously give what they had promised to give in order to further advance the work of spreading the gospel. Paul urged those believers to give generously, reminding them that the one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will reap generously. And just in case that thought of generously giving would cause those believers to think, well, wait, but what about me? Paul gave them the same reminder that we find in our Old Testament reading and in our Gospel reading. God is able to make all grace overflow to you. And just in that phrase, just in that part of that one verse, there is so much packed. And I want us to focus on four of those words for a moment. And the first two words go together like mashed potatoes and gravy, like rack of ribs and barbecue. Those two words are God and able. Able is kind of implied, isn't it, when the subject is God? And it's almost like that's an understatement, right? God is able. Well, of course he is. He's God, right? And what is God able to do? Everything. In this case, he is able to make grace abound. Grace, something that is a gift, that which is unmerited, that which is unearned, given not because of the worthiness of the recipient, but given because of the faithfulness and the love of the giver. And God makes this grace abound, overflow, burst the boundaries of the container, cascade. We saw it with the Israelites in the wilderness. We saw it with that crowd gathered on the hillside with Jesus. Scripture is filled with examples of it. Do you see it in your life? Have you seen it today? Do you see it right now? I pray you do. Because I know that I often fail to. How many of us woke up this morning wondering if we were going to be able to eat something today? For probably the vast majority of us, we took those first groggy steps out of bed over to the fridge or to the pantry and discovered that not only do I have food, but I got some options. Things like my eyes opening this morning and me being able to see. The fact that my diaphragm contracted and expanded and brought air into my lungs. Maybe I got to hear first thing in the morning the voice of a dear one greeting me. Maybe I took a couple more groggy steps over to a closet or to a dresser that doesn't just have one pair of pants and one shirt in it, but a whole bunch. Running water, a means of transportation, a beautiful space in which we can all gather and hear of God's wonderful grace and return to Him our prayers and our praises and our offerings. And we're gathered here with people who will be, Lord willing, our family forever, because we are united in a common faith in the world's one Savior from sin, Jesus, who gives us forgiveness for all of our worries and fears, unfounded though they may be. Forgiveness for all of our faults and all of our failures. Mercy to spare us the punishment that we deserve. Scarlet sins washed and made white as snow in the blood that He shed. A peace that passes understanding, a peace that lifts even the heaviest burden of guilt from our shoulders over things that we have said and done that we can't go back and undo, but nonetheless, Jesus has lifted that burden from us forever. A peace in Jesus' salvation that brings comfort to lift us out of even the deepest and darkest sorrow. A hope, not just for a better forever, but for a perfect forever. Hope in which we can put one foot in front of the other confidently, even when we take those steps through the valley of the shadow of death. Not just the bare minimum, not just enough to get by. Grace upon grace. Every day you and I live in this world, God proves to us countless ways and at countless times throughout just one day how He is able to make His grace abound. So what are we going to do with it? Are we going to clutch those blessings so tightly to ourselves that we fail to even look up? Are we going to concern ourselves with gathering more, more, more? Are we going to take such graces for granted as though I am entitled to them? Am I going to look at the graces given to others that may be different than the ones given to me and let myself be pulled into that devilish dungeon of desire and get shackled with those irons of greed? Look what he, look what she, look what they have. I should have it too. Am I going to find all those empty spaces between the graces? And are we going to focus our faces on those spaces and act like we don't have many graces? Am I going to insist that others share the graces they have been given while I hoard the ones that I've been given like a toddler with his toys? Or am I going to take these graces and do what God intends to be done with His graces? and let them be God's cascading graces. Because that's what he does. He makes his graces overflow to you and to me. If you were a container, you would not be able to hold all the graces. They overflow. And when this was read before, dear Christians, did you realize that the verse doesn't stop there, that God is able to make all grace overflow to you? The verse doesn't stop there. It goes on. Because there's purpose behind the giving of the graces. God is able to overflow all grace. By the way, this is a literal translation. God is able to overflow all grace for you so that in every circumstance, always having enough everything, you may overflow for the purpose of every good work. God gives you enough everything all the time. How about that? Why? So that you overflow to others. He gives so that you should give. You receive those graces so that you would then give those graces so that they would be received by others. And verse 10 really drives the point home. Listen to it again. He who provides seed to the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply. Not just provide, but multiply your seed for sowing. Did you catch it? Do you notice what that said, or maybe more significantly, what it didn't say? God provides you with graces. In this illustration that Paul uses here, it's seed, right? Why? Is it so that you can start a super cool seed collection? So that you can take all of your seeds and grind them up into flour and bake something delicious for yourself? Nope. The seed of his graces are not for you to store, but to sow. He will multiply your seed for sowing, to share, to give. And not just a little, but a lot. Be generous in your sowing. Because this is the promise that you have from God. You will be made rich in every way so that you may be generous in every way, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. Permit a little illustration. Think of a multi-tiered fountain, like the ones that they have at the outdoor section at Menards, or as we call it in my house, the dad store. Take a moment to consider what happens with that multi-tiered fountain. The top section fills up and water pours out into the next. And that section fills up till it's full, until it has to pour out into the next. And the same thing with the next section, and so on and so on. And yes, the technical word for that is called a cascading effect. God would have his graces, his abundant gifts, have a cascading effect. He pours them endlessly into our lives that we would pour his graces into the next person, who would then pour them also into the next person. And the thing that's cool about those fountains is it seems that the water just doesn't run out, right? Thanks to the wonders of there's a pump inside, right? But God doesn't need a pump for his graces, because his graces are limitless, and he's going to keep pouring them, and he's going to keep giving them into you. You're not going to be empty. You're going to be full, and you're going to have more than enough so that you can overflow and fill somebody else up. There will always be enough for you. There will always be more than enough for you. There will always be more than enough for you to give. God keeps pouring and pouring after all, so that His graces would keep on cascading and cascading from Him to you to someone else and continuing on down. So, dear Christians, let those graces of God cascade. The forgiveness He gives to you, give to those who wrong you. The mercy He extends to you, extend it to your neighbor. The peace that you have, use it to quell conflict. The joy that you have, share it with the sorrowful and the hurting. The time that you have, spend not just for you, but for someone who needs your time. Expend the energy and use the abilities that God has given you, not just for you, but for the benefit of another. The material blessings you've been given, give of them generously as well. Not because you're going to be thanked, or you're going to be acknowledged, or you're going to get any kind of credit whatsoever, but because it will bless someone else, and God will get the glory. Just like it should be. After all, it's His grace to begin with. Grace that He doesn't stop giving. So let them be what God would have them be. His cascading graces. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together to confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated, and we'll continue with the prayer of the church. We'll join in the responsive prayer as it's on the screen and as it's also printed on page 198. Loving God and Lord, You created the universe that surrounds us and the globe on which we live. You control all things through Your Son, who sits at Your right hand in glory. Comfort us with the promise of Your eternal presence. Give Your word power as it works in our hearts and minds. Clear away our confusion, demolish our doubts. Send Your Spirit to strengthen both our confidence in Your promises and our desire to live according to Your will. Take away our love of sinning and restore us each day by Your grace. The signs of the times warn us that the end of time is near. Protect us from scoffers who sneer at Your truth. Spare us and Christians around the world from all forms of hate and persecution. Give us courage to carry the cross with patience and joy. Instill in the hearts of our children a desire to follow you as they prepare for future days. Help them distinguish between what is passing and what is eternal, between instant thrills and lasting joy. Encourage more young people to prepare for service in the public ministry of the gospel. Mold us and move us to be good examples for our youth. Hold in your care those who are experiencing physical or emotional pain, and all who are afflicted by disease or facing death. Pour out your compassion on the grieving, and comfort the mourners who miss someone they love. Move us to pray for these brothers and sisters, and to help them when we can. And Heavenly Father, we join Vern and Pat Kingery in giving you thanks as they celebrate their 34th wedding anniversary on Sunday. By your grace, they have come this far, and by your grace, they move forward together. Sustain and defend them through trials and temptations. As they enjoy your gift of marriage, help them to love each other with selflessness and service. May they continue to find comfort in your presence, strength in your promises, and perseverance because of your faithfulness. And hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. Whether we pray together or alone, you have promised to hear and answer us. Give us patience to accept your blessings in whatever way you send them. In your love and wisdom, prepare us for the day when you will take us to be with you forever. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. A reminder, if you brought an offering with you this evening, to please leave that in the alms box in the back on your way out. And with that, we will continue with the final three stanzas of hymn 754, Forgive Us, Lord, for Shallow Thankfulness. Please stand for prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The congregation may be seated. We'll close with our final hymn, hymn 617, Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
This worship service hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of the service will be shown at noon today at Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on the St. John's Lutheran Church and Schools Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. There are many opportunities at church the next couple of weeks. On July 28th, there will be the budget meeting directly after the service. On August 18th will be the special Christian Education Sunday. It will be an outdoor service at the school. There will be food afterwards. And Stephen Butiska will be the guest musician that day. On Friday, August 9th at school, there will be a movie night in the school parking lot. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. The television producer today is Don Harmon, and this is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
Some good Christian fellowship. So would encourage you to mark your calendars. We're going to have a special guest musician, Mr. Steve Bautista, who has been here before. He's going to be providing the music that day. We will have communion then on the following week, on the 22nd and the 25th. A couple things that you received in your bulletin, hopefully, tonight. One of them is an insert that looks like this about why write a Christian will. On August 25th, that last weekend in August, we are going to have a special guest preacher, Pastor Jonathan Karen, who is one of the planned giving counselors. He's going to...
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Oh,
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke